So welcome, here we go, rock and roll, time for some goal planning differently. And before we even get into goal planning, I want to run through the UPAD principles quickly. And we're not going to go deep into that. I do other training on that. I just want to give a quick overview. This will change when you comprehend what I'm about to say and really start to live it and look at everything through the UPAD principles. Everything changes the way you look at business. And first and foremost, I want you to understand from this day forward, please, 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 you own a business. Stop using the word grind. Hate that word. You own a business. Start to run it like a business. Be a good manager of your business. And the UPAD principles will tell you that there's three levels of business. Michael Gerber wrote The E-Myth. Best book. If you haven't read it, if you haven't listened to it, get it. I like to listen. I've listened to that book no less than a dozen times. It's one of the most instrumental books I think we as business owners and real estate agents should get. Give me some hearts if you've ever read Michael Gerber's The E-Myth. Also, type down below if you're watching this live or if you're watching on the replay, just so we know. So anyways, Michael Gerber says that there's three levels: the entrepreneur, the manager, and the technician. The entrepreneur level is the level that said, hey, man, let's get our real estate license. HGTV makes it look so fun and easy, and I can make a ton of money. The manager is responsible for organization, and the technician is responsible for doing. Basically, is the easiest way to say that. Agents spend the majority of their time in the technician level, ignoring the management level. So when I created the three, the UPAD principles, you got to take a look. And the entrepreneur, that's responsible for everything, right? The overall health of your company. The manager is responsible for the first two, UP, understand and planning. You got to understand what the goals are of the entrepreneur of the business are. You got to make a plan. And then the technician is responsible for putting that plan into action and having the discipline. I'm going to say that again. Lord help me preach right now. Having the discipline to do the work. And when you have the discipline to do the work, it creates accountability back to the management level. This is a third eye moment, guys. Okay. It's a third eye moment. The moment that you create accountability, real accountability in your business, is the moment that your business really starts to have accelerated growth. So let me just go through this again real quick. As a manager, your job, and you got to execute as a manager, is to understand and make a plan and track the results of what the technician you are doing. The technician puts it into action, and then you have the discipline to do the work. That creates accountability back to the management level. And our tagline, accountability plus discipline equals success. So when you're accountable and you create that accountability through discipline and you have that discipline to do the work and make up the negative gaps, you have success. And it's really simple. Before we start getting into business goals, goal planning is more than just business goals and how many phone calls you're going to make today and how much money you're going to make. It's got to do with this core concept first. And you can see the little eye down in the right corner, right? That's your third eye opening up. The five pillars of happiness and the five goals that you must keep in balance, because if any one of these are out of balance, it knocks the rest of them out. Self is first, because without a happy, healthy you, you're no good to anybody else. And when you're on the airplane, what does the steward, the flight attendants there, what do they say? Put the oxygen on you first, right? Family, financial, business, spirit. You can put the rest of them in whatever order you want after self and family. For me, those are the most important. Then there are no logical order here except for self is first. Okay, you put them whatever. But the key is to make them in balance. So what you want to do, or what I suggest that you do, is you set three goals for each pillar with the most important one first. Three, because you're going to accomplish one, but you might be trying to eat healthy and organic and lose weight. So there's one, there's two. right? You might be trying to grow a team and increase transactions, right? So that's why you want to put two, but what's the most important first? Look every day at your goals, every single day. Meditate or pray on them. I would say pray on them because meditation, give it a second because it says unstable. Meditation really is, in Western philosophy or Eastern philosophy, is nothingness. So if you're at nothingness, you can't think about it. So I say pray because now you're praying on them. Do something every day that reaches towards those goals, no matter how small. Do something every single day to reach those goals, no matter how small, because that leaves you feeling accomplished and it's okay shutting things off. Okay, I did something for my personal self, goal one. I did something for my business, my finance, my family, blah, 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 blah. I can shut it off and be okay. One of the hardest things agents have is shutting it off. They're afraid of missing that call, or they weren't able to put a monetary value on the activities that they did today, so they don't feel complete. But we're not going to get paid for the money. We're not going to put a monetary value to the activities that we did today. But the activities that we do create that monetary influx of income down the road. And let's talk about that. If you have any questions, put them in. I'll get to them afterwards. Let's talk about commissions. Let's talk about money, because this is where agents really screw up the most. I work with a lot of agents. If you want, go ahead and give me a thumbs up or an angry face if you are ever on a tax payment plan or behind on your tax or had a tax lien, any kind of tax trouble, even if it's just a payment, because this is where I see agents screwing up the most. Why? They get into the business. They're accustomed to a 9-to-5 job. Taxes were taken out. They got $852.33 this week. They could spend every dollar of it because next week they're going to get it again. Just like that Pavlov's dog there, and you come running when the bell rings, your check is going to be there. Just show up 5 times and work 8 hours and boom, there's the check. That doesn't exist anymore. So now all of a sudden they get that $4,000, $5,000, $10,000, $12,000 commission check. First thing they're doing is, oh, I deserve a new shirt. I deserve a new hat. I deserve a new car. I deserve a new laptop. I deserve a new high heels bag, whatever. And they're spending the IRS's money. Now, let me tell you something. The IRS is going to let you spend their money, but they're going to charge you 21.9% interest and also a bunch of fees on top of that. So do we really want to pay that? No. I would really strongly suggest getting Michael Michalowicz's book, Profit First. I've always ran my business this way. And when I read the book, I was like, wow, we're like in alignment with our thinking. Even Grant Cardone says, I'll buy whatever I want as long as it's in my 40%. Because he understands, Michael understands, I understand that you've got to account for taxes. It ain't all your money. Bill Gates don't get to keep all the money that comes into Microsoft, right? There's expenses, there's taxes, there's other things to be paid for. You should put 25% away into a tax account that you're not going to touch. Pay your quarterlies. If you don't have any discipline, then cut them, send the check right into them. They'll accept it that way too. But 25% right out of your business account. And then 20% stays in your business account. 15% at a minimum to savings. And then 40% into whatever it is that your personal expenses. And that's why we need budgets. Okay. And we'll talk about budgets in a minute. So let's assume a $10,000 commission check. Your broker is nice. They've already taken their amount. So you got $10,000 left. I'm using $10,000 for easy math, y'all. $2,500 goes to your tax account. $2,000 is retained in your business account. $1,500 goes into savings or an investment account. I like to keep 3 months liquid available. Once I have 3 months liquid, now as the money comes in, I put it into investment accounts. Okay. Mutual funds or whatever. That way, if I come across an investment that I want to buy, I can pull the money out and I can buy the investment. And then $4,000 goes into my personal expense. Yo, look at the face. Okay. Yeah, man, that 10 grand turned into 4 grand. But the moment you understand this, because there's no safety net. We got to build our own safety net. That's what the 15%, the 1500 on this case is. You need money to fund your business. Listen, I know Howard Tager from Wailopo, super nice guy, But if you don't have, if your credit card's not working, well, neither is your Y-Lopo. Okay. So you got to have money in your account to fund your business. And that's why when we're looking at this, budgets are vital. Okay. Budgets are vital. And I'm going to tell you why budgets are vital in a minute. Because if you don't even know how much money you need to make per year, then how the hell can you even goal plan to make money for the year? Okay. So what you get to keep, that's your net, your NCI, your net or your effective commission or whatever you want to call it. You got to understand what your net needs are before you can actually set a gross need. So now that we understand that budgets are vital, you take a spreadsheet and you put everything that you're going to pay. And heck, even put on there what your trips are. I'm planning a trip to Costa Rica. It's a $5,000 trip. I got that on my budget for 2020. And once I'm able to get to there and I get my savings goals and a little bit is put into there and I get my $5,000, I can book my trip. Okay. So having budgets, knowing what you want to do, where you want to travel, what it costs you to pay your mortgage, your lights, all the other personal bills. Because if you don't know, who does? And how can you actually start to make money if you don't know? So let's do the 40% reverse plan, because we just saw that we need to pay our taxes, fund our business, and save some money. We're left with 40%. Now, you might have a really good accountant. You might be able to get your taxes down to 20. These are suggestions. That's why you need to work as a CFO, a manager of your business. Maybe, you know, you only ended up paying an 18% and you can give yourself a bonus. Maybe you were able to run your business on 15%. Maybe you only needed 10% savings because you got some other vehicles and maybe you're earning 50%. These are all just benchmarks, y'all. These are just suggestions. Adjust them however you need. I'm using what I use, which is the 40%. So I'm going to do the 40% reverse plan. So if you keep 40%, do the math for a minimum you need to make. So assume it's $6,000 a month for all your bills. Some of you have 15 grand. Some of you have 5 grand or 4 grand. Choose your number. Assume 6,000 a month for all personal expenses, leisure, and adventure goals. That's 72 grand per year. I got to make $72,000 a year to live. 72,000 divided by 0.4, 40%, is 180,000 minimum GCI. Now I know I have a minimum of 180,000 GCI I got to make following that model. Because if I'm going to make 180,000 gross, you better believe that IRS has got the eye on you and a hand out for you. So now you can actually do this on the reverse savings goals too. Maybe you want to put $25,000 into savings this year, into the market, mutual funds, whatever. Maybe you got kids going to college in a few years and you didn't save up anything and you want to, you know, help them through that. Simply take what you're willing to save. We use 15% in the example and divide by the goal. So 25 divided by 0.15 is 166,600. And I'm not going to say the rest because that's a devil's number. GCI. Seeing you need 180,000 GCI for personal expense, this seems logical and doable, yeah? I mean, you got to be logical when you're setting this. You can't say, I want to put $100,000 in the bank. I'm only going to put 15% away. Well, great. Then you need to bring in like $5 billion, gajillion dollars in gross commission income to hit that goal. So you got to have be a little bit realistic in these approaches. The most important thing is you need to know your number. For all of this to work, you need to know your numbers. And when I say you need to know your numbers, you need to know what your average commission is. I talk to agents all the time and I'm like, what's your average commission? I don't know. 2.5%. So what I'm asking, man, you got to know on average how much money each sale is worth to you. Now I know you might have one at a million and one at 100,000. If you take the high and take the low and find a median, I don't care. Find out whatever your effective commission is. There's got to be some neutral medium number that you can use. In this case, we're going to use 7,500. That's mine. So what is your average commission? 180,000. That's my minimum. That's my minimum. Divided by my effective commission or average commission, that gives me the number of sides, transactional sides that I need, which in this case, 180,000 divided by 7,500 is 24 sides. At a minimum, I got to sell two houses a month to hit my goals. to put my 25 grand in the bank into savings, to get my $6,000 a month on average for my life, expect my taxes, and to run my business. Now, this is where you're able to say, okay, 24 is my minimum number. Hashtag minimum, got to do that. Nothing else is important. I'm going to work my face off until I get that, but I really want to do 36 because that would change my life. One extra a month. Now, we're going to stick with the minimum of 24. You adjust however you want, whatever your stretch goal is and things like that. Now, this is taken from, I didn't come up with this, you know, Gary and all those that wrote the MREA get credit for this. I just took what their teachings were and turned it into a decimal or an equation. That was actually the equation that we actually use inside of the More GCI app too when we created it. So taken from page 180 and 181, which to me is the most powerful two pages in that book of the MREA, we come up with a base conversion rate of 52%. When you read 180 and 181, you'll understand what I'm saying. This is why you must track your own unique conversion rate. Because maybe you're 60%, maybe you're 40%, but you got to know this. We're going to use the base average out of that book. And so 24 sides divided by 0.52 is 46 unique and qualified appointments, first appointment only. So if you got to sell 24 transactions on average, you need to talk and go on 46 unique and qualified appointments. Somebody that wants to sell, somebody that wants to buy, and they're both qualified, and you track the first appointment only because you're not going to get all of them. The longer you're in the business, the better your conversion is. The more referrals you work, the better your conversion is. So there's a whole lot of things, and that's why managers and coaches tell you to track your conversion rate because you got to know it. Because oftentimes it's a simple adjustment in what you're doing right then and there. We don't need more leads. We just need better conversion, right? Let me say that again. We don't need more leads. Often all we need is better conversion. So if your conversion rate's at 46 and the average is 52, but we get you up to 58, that has a profound impact on your bottom line. Give me some hearts if you agree with that. So now we know, okay, I got 24 transactional sides I need to do, which was 46 unique and qualified appointments. I'm going to show you two different ways that the industry usually looks at this. One way is to take a look at the industry average of 30 warm or 100 cold contacts, which gives you an average of 65. So 65 times 46, 65 from the average and 46 from the appointments. Now, there's no exact science. These are all benchmarks. They're all ideas. They're all meant for you to come up with daily action plans. Sometimes they're right, sometimes they're a little off, but doing something is better than doing nothing because everything works and nothing doesn't. So 65 times 46 equals 2990 contacts per year, which is 57.5 per week, which is 11.5 per day. There's your action plan, y'all. You need to have 11.5 conversations every single day about real estate. That's it. 11.5. How are you going to do that? Now the way to look at it, version two. Some people in this story will say that it takes 80 conversations to get one sale. So let's do the same thing. Let's take 80 times 24 equals 1920 conversations. Notice that we didn't use, here we used 46 because that was the number of appointments. Some people in the industry say it takes 80 conversations to get one sale. So we're going to follow that just so you can see and try to find an average on what works for you. 80 times 24 equals 1920 conversations per year, 36 per week, 7.3 per day. I'd err on the side of caution and say, I want to do the 11, right? I want to do the 11 versus the 7. But based upon this theory, 7 conversations per day. So it doesn't matter whether you're doing the 7 or the 11, you're going to get results. Why? Because you're having conversations. So let's think about this. You want to make $180,000. I just broke it down that you need to have 24 sales, 46 appointments, either 11 or 7 conversations per day. That is it. Think about nothing else. Don't think about the $180,000. Don't think about how many phone calls you need to make throughout the year. Don't think about any of that. That's the macro, man. That's the macro. When you stop forgetting about the macro and start worrying about the micro, which is the 7.3 conversations per day or the 11 point whatever it was conversations per day, when you start focusing on now, the here and now, My preacher used to say, everybody's worried, you know, start worrying about the here and now, not the then and when, right? He used to say that. But I'm saying the same thing. Worry about the here and now. And then and when is going to take care of itself. You just have to have those conversations every single day. Consistency. The dirty little C word in our industry that nobody wants to talk about, that nobody does, because what happens is you get going a little busy. And then all of a sudden, you stop prospecting, you stop following up, you stop reaching out to your sphere of influence, your past clients, you stop networking because, oh, I'm so busy. And this is where time blocking comes in. I don't have enough time in the day to go into this whole thing and why all this stuff is important. And what happens is you start, and then all of a sudden, whoop, you're dead again. Now all of a sudden you start working again and doing what you're supposed to do. Where if you just did what you're supposed to do, you shut off all the distraction and all the nonsense and just focused on high yield activities and the activities you're supposed to do, how many hours a day is it gonna take to contact and call and have 7 conversations per day? There's not a freaking soul out there that is that busy. Nobody. Not one. I don't care who you are. You can have an hour a day having 7 or 11 conversations every single day. I hear excuses all the time and I'm so sick of them. Okay. I can't do it. I'm too busy. That's because you're not in control of your business. Again, this is goal planning. I'm not going to go down there. I can go down a tangent. I can go down a rabbit hole that's completely unscripted right now. And sometimes good stuff comes out. But anyways, all you have to do now is just do the work. There's no excuses. There's no reason why you can't. There's no reason why you can't. You control your schedule. Control your damn clients. You're not available until after 11 because you're going to be working on your business from 9 to 11 and getting new business. Most of the top producers I talk to say, I don't do appointments until afternoon. All morning is about lead generating, following up and staying organized. I go on my appointments afternoon. If they can do it, you can do it. All comes down to control. You're afraid to ask, oh, but I only have 9 o'clock available to look at the property. If they really want to see the property, they'll be available at 1. And I get it. Every so often there's exceptions made. Well, if you're going to move your time block and go show the person the property at 9, guess what? You're moving that time block until the afternoon. Oh, that's right. You had lunch and 3 margaritas, and the next thing you know, you're skipping out at 3 o'clock because whatever. Wine and cheese event. Got to go see the house. Broker open, free food. I mean, just try shut that stuff off. Okay. Do the work, but how are you going to do the work? How are you going to do it? This is where your marketing and lead generation strategy, I'm going to say that again. This is where your marketing and lead generation strategy comes in. Give me some hearts. Give me some likes if you have a strategy. Your strategy is then going to tell you what you already know what you need to do every day. We just went through that. You got to have 7 to 11 conversations about real estate. So this is where your strategy comes in. How are you going to have them? You got to make phone calls, network, online leads, million different ways to get them online. Okay, we're not even going to talk about going down that route. Or you're going to do some traditional activity. You're going to go door knock. You got billboards, postcards going out. Let me repeat that. Are you going to do some form of calling strategy? And that's cold calls, expireds, FSBOs, you know all that stuff. But you also have to call your past clients, your Power Circle members, and your networking partners. Are you going to network? And that overlays with networking. How are you going to network? You going to chamber? What are you doing in the community? Are you supporting restaurants locally? What are you doing? And you're going to with your Power Circle? You're getting into no other business owners? What are you doing online? I mean, man, you've got the Big Z. You got RDC. You got all these other portals. You got Facebook. Facebook itself is a multidimensional strategy. Are you going to do a community page or group scheme? We know people, admins in this group. Nikki, I mean, she does phenomenal business with a Facebook group. We know people like Travis Tom that are doing phenomenal with Facebook ads. There's multiple dimensions to Facebook. What is your online strategy? And then what's your traditional strategy? You're going to go door knock? Good. Don't go do it once and then be discouraged that it didn't happen. Listen, shit, I went to the gym the other day. My whole body hurts. I didn't lose the 20 pounds I want to lose. So I'm going to have to engage in consistent activity, go over and over and over again. And through doing that activity over a sustained period of time, I will see the result. It's the same thing. Okay. But I'm going to give y'all one now. I'm going to give you one thing that, you know, anytime I'm on podcasts, anytime I'm training or anything, people are like, leave us with one idea. I'm going to leave you with one idea. If you only do this one idea, if you only do this every single day, 5 days a week, 50 weeks in a year, I'll give you 2 weeks off, okay? 50 weeks in a year, you're going to get business. You're going to get business. Will it be all the business that you need? Maybe. Will it be half the business that you need? Maybe. But I'm going to tell you what, it's going to have a profound impact on your bottom line. You ready? Are you ready for this? Give me some hearts. I need some hearts if you're ready for this. I'm going to take a drink. There we go. Just do 5, 5, 5, 10 every day, and your business will have enough business. Okay? 5, 5, 5, 10. Pretty simple to remember, right? What is it? 5 calls to past clients, sphere, network, partners every day. 5 handwritten notes every day. 5 new introductions per week, 1 per day. You're getting introduced to somebody else in the community, business owner, potential buyer, another referral partner, network partner, something like that, 1 per day. Ooh, scary talking to people, I know. And then 10 two-way conversations every day about real estate. And here's the thing, y'all. You're already calling 5 past or sphere or network people. So all you got to do is have 5 more. Okay. Realistically, now you're being introduced to somebody. So there's 6. So you got to come up with 4 more. And oh my God, you just met somebody once a day. You had 5 calls. Who do you think you're going to write the handwritten note cards to? Okay. It is that simple. If you did just this and nothing else in your business, you would have business. So let's wind that down and get ready for some Q&A. That's the end. For now. Okay. That's the end for now. And on a just shameless little plug on November 6th, I'm doing a 2-hour live master goal planning deeper than what we just went through, deeper with the UPAD. And then we're going to do some lead generation, some lead strategy on different things to do your business with. Plus you get access to the 8-week of greatness course for the rest of 2019. And you get a 2020 mega agent planner thing. The thing is a behemoth, but it rocks. So if you want to check that out, go to gcigold.com. That's the link we created for it, gcigold.com, or reach out to me and talk. But what I'm going to do now is stop the share and see if we have any questions. So let's see if we have any questions and pop them up. Let me try to navigate this. Panelists, can you say the author's name again? Sure. Kathy Hart. I love it. Michael Gerber, The E-Myth, is one of them. And that was the book about business and how business and entrepreneur, E stands for entrepreneur, the entrepreneur myth. And you're going to break, you know, Robert Kiyosaki's great too. He does the rich dad, poor dad quadrant with employee, self-employed, business, and investor. Another great person to follow. Most of these guys have podcasts too. So you should have these podcasts downloaded because podcasts are free. Be feeding your brain positivity, knowledge every single day. Let it grow because when it grows, it doesn't contract. Okay. Michael Michalowicz, Profit First, is the other book. Thank you, Regina Brown, for recommending that to me last year. Great book. So it's Michael Michalowicz. I don't know how to spell it. Sound it out. That's one of those names that I don't even attempt. And Profit First is the name of the book. And then Michael Gerber, The E-Myth, fantastic book. The 5 calls to past client sphere, is that separate and apart from the 10 two-way conversations? No, that's part of it, right? You're calling them, saying how they're doing, and asking them, hey, do you know anybody looking to buy or sell? Right? Real simple. You've got to engage in those conversations. You got to have ask those questions. So if you're if you're having 10 2A conversations per day, let me just see what that number looks like. Let me find a calculator somewhere. So that's 50 per week times 50 weeks in a year with 2 weeks off, that's 2,500. So that's right in line with the number, you know, right there in line with the number that we were coming up for that 180,000 goal. Look over here, any questions? I've seen this before and I love this type of training my broker provides on a regular. What is the number one thing you would tell agents to focus their time on their business effectively? Marlene, a couple things I would tell people. First of all, 5-5-5-10. Okay. 5-5-5-10. I would focus on the 5-5-5-10. I'll give you three things right now. Focus on the 5-5-5-10 every day. Some people they might be new. They might not have past clients. So you're going to have to start working on other relationships. And that's where networking comes in. Now, let me just tell you, man, networking is such a scary thing. Okay. A lot of people just don't seem to do it anymore. They hide behind their computer. They hide behind this godforsaken device. Okay. And they don't go make relationships. And I'm going to tell you, that is where almost all of my money, I spend zero money building my businesses on marketing, on advertising, on Facebook or any of that stuff. I spend zero. It's all networking. My real estate business was thriving. Facebook didn't exist. Okay. I have MySpace and Yahoo. Google existed. Zillow didn't exist. Okay. So you had to build your business the old-fashioned way and go and talk to people and network with people. That is still how I run my business. That's still how I'm able to excel, okay? I know multimillionaires that don't even have a cell phone. They don't even have a Facebook profile, okay? So you got to think about this. Building relationships. So 5-5-5-10. Get out there in the community and start networking. Chamber of Commerce, the Rotary, Kiwanis, those types of things. If you're a veteran, go to VFWs and things and volunteer and do those types of things. Give back. The more people you're belly to belly with, this is the belly to belly game. The whole reason we do what we do online is so we can get them offline and have a conversation with them. Right? Show them a house, list their house, whatever. So get out into the community. So number one was the 5-5-5-10, which parlays to how do you increase that by getting out there in the network and to the community and networking and meeting people, maybe a little volunteering. Chamber of Commerce is a wonderful place. You know who goes there? Business owners. Who do you want to network with? Business owners. So we treat this like a business, us to consumer game, where if we treat it like a business to business game, that business now then becomes an advocate for us and we can get into deeper levels and they know more people than the individual. Now I have a vested interest in helping that person. They got a vested interest in giving me referrals back because now we're working together. See what I'm doing there? If I got 10 businesses that are all going to give me one or two referrals a year, well, call me a pickle. That's 10 to 20 transactions. If I need to do 24, I'll find the other four, okay? And the next thing is, in this day and age, yeah, you need to have some sort of a community or Facebook strategy. I'd be making video content, local video content, restaurants. What's going on? Do you have a museum? Do you have like a children's museum? What restaurants? And go in there and do 3 to 5 minute videos. Explore the area. Start a YouTube page. Start a Facebook community group. And you can start a Facebook community page. Now you can push that content through paid ads and things like that and start to build the engagement, drive them into the group and build the engagement there. See what I'm talking about? Invite people into your group. Create your ecosystem. I mean, LabCoats is 100,000 people. It started out as a small little group with two and grew to four, grew to eight, kept growing, kept growing, kept growing. So imagine what you can do in your community. You don't need 100,000 people. Might only have 30,000, might only have 10,000, but it gives you a place to be visible. Your YouTube page, you can optimize that. There's so much you can do. This is why I say, shut the TV off, shut the news off. Who cares what's going on? It's all lies anyway. And focus on learning YouTube, learning Google AdWords, learning Facebook, optimizing a Facebook and those types of things. Okay. Because people, I live in a town called Bedford, New Hampshire. You ain't just going to pop up on it. And it's just not going to pop up on it. You have to go there and type Bedford, New Hampshire or Bedford, New Hampshire real estate to show up. And if somebody's typing in Bedford, New Hampshire or Bedford, New Hampshire real estate, let me clue you in on a little something. They're interested in Bedford, New Hampshire or Bedford, New Hampshire real estate. I want to be present there. So Google owns Facebook. Now, let me rephrase that. Google owns YouTube, right? Google owns YouTube. And that's why you want to have your videos and things like that optimized with keywords and your descriptions with keywords. And that's why you want to be found when somebody types that stuff in. Anyway, hopefully that answers the question. Do the 5-5-5-10. Get out there in the community and build relationships, business owners, and start to build local content. And the tools to do this are free. Doesn't have to be highly edited. I do everything on this. I don't even know what it is. iPhone X, I think it is. I guess I need to get the new one. Ellen's got the new one. I guess I need the new one. Anyways, that's what I got to say about that, y'all. If you want to join me on the deeper dive, I'd love to have you. Go check out GCI Goal. Follow up with me, gcigoal.com. You're going to get a couple hour deep dive. It probably end up going 3 hours, but you're going to learn so much. It's really going to open up that third eye. You are going to get the planner. You're going to get the access to the 8 weeks to greatness, which has all the forms, all the downloads, all the different possible ways. We'll go deep into networking, deep into online, deep into everything. We do the mindset workshop in there. We do the UPAD principles deep into that. That's the one I onboard associations with. So there's a lot of content there for you. If you need us at all in lab coats, post a question, reach out to the admins. Besides that, y'all, if there's no more questions, and let me just do one more run through. Going all the way up, all the way up, all the way up. No, that's it. Hey, y'all, do me a favor. Check out the realestatechronicles.com. We just launched a new podcast, and it's funny. We're interviewing a special guest tomorrow, hoping that we get our boy Tristan on there, and then hopefully maybe we can convince Nick to come on too and tell a funny story about something that has happened to them in the real estate industry. We got our first episode posted up there. It is meant to be not politically correct. It is meant to be funny and not serious, because all of, you know, even my podcast and everybody else's podcast, we're serious. We're talking about business and serious issues and everything else like that. This is purely meant 15 minutes to make you laugh, make you say, oh my God, I can't believe they just said that, those types of things. But we got somebody great that we're going to be putting on there tomorrow. No, actually later today, and then we'll have it out posted tomorrow. So check that out, therealestatechronicles.com. If you need us in LCA, reach out to us. The commission breakdown spreadsheet is under files. Go under there and look for it. There's a whole bunch of stuff under files. Y'all should spend some time going through some of that stuff. Go to the GCI Goal, register. Hope to see you there. Peace out, everybody.